I want to do is I want to share tonight on this subject, overcoming worry. Probably nobody in here really needs that at this time, but just in case you ever do, you might want to mark in your Bible and take some notes. But overcoming worry, and this is part one. And I'll tell you, I'm really doing a spin-off from where we left in our series. If you remember, you may want to look at your notes from last Wednesday. We finished up the Healing the Brokenhearted series. And does anybody, perhaps looking at notes, you can help me preach here, remember the three master keys for emotional stability? I gave you three master keys for emotional stability. The first one was what? The washing of water by the Word. Do you remember that? We talked about if you ever want to stabilize your Christian life, the washing of water by the Word. Does anybody remember number two? The daily habit of praise and worship. Yes. If you want to have a stabilized walk with Jesus, then you need to develop the habit of praise and worship. And the third master key I gave you for emotional stability was what? The daily habit of what? There you go. Casting your cares on the Lord. Now, I didn't feel like we developed that far enough, and I really want to go into it further tonight. Let's look together 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's go to verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, please underline that phrase. He gives grace to who? The humble. Now, I'll tell you, I am a grace preacher. I'm a faith preacher, a grace preacher. And I'm always looking for ways for God's grace to increase in my life. Remember in the offering a moment ago, we shared one of those ways is planting financial seed. Another tremendous key, in fact, I think this is probably the first key to ever increasing the grace of God in your life, and you may want to mark this either in your Bible or in your notes, is you must have humility, the quality of humility developed in your life. I don't know about you, but that catches my attention when it says God resists the proud. I don't know if you can fit that into your theological framework or how you're going to do that, but it's pretty plain there. God resists who? The proud. Now, I've got enough battles to fight. Hello, I've got enough battles to fight without pride rising up in my life, which would cause God to have to, in some way, resist me. If you don't like the phrase resist, then I think the thought is also slow me down in my progress in His will. Why? He cares for me and He doesn't want to get me further out than I'm ready for. Remember I told you that your giftings can take you where your character cannot keep you. Do you remember me saying that? Your giftings or your talents. And you see this even with people in the ministry. You see it a lot. Now, worship team, don't get upset at me, but you see it a lot with music folks, where their talent is so far ahead of their character. And if you've ever watched some of those documentaries on TV about the famous rock and roll groups or music groups, most of them really self-destruct. They self-destruct through drugs, through sex, through the party life. And what, you know, they could have had this tremendous career. And they were interviewing some. I was watching some of those documentaries. Interesting to hear some of the long-termers. They made a decision early on. No more drugs. No more sex. When I get back to the hotel, I go to bed when I get there. And because of that, they have a longer span of their talent. Are you getting anything out of this? Now, that's just from a worldly perspective. From a spiritual perspective, he says here, God gives grace to who? The humble. Now, let's talk about what Christian humility is all about. One thing we see in verse 5, it means you're going to have respect for somebody that's older than you, not only age-wise, but in the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people that can't do that. There's a lot of people, and this used to be just part of the American culture, and sad to say it's not there anymore. There's in the old days, the young generation, they wouldn't dare say something offensive to an older person. Or if an older person's coming into the door there at the restaurant, the younger people used to stand back and hold the door for them. Now it's like push the old man or the old lady out of the way and get on in there, you know, because you know their time's over with. How many of you realize God doesn't honor that type of attitude? Well, God doesn't honor it in the church either. And so you need to honor the older people, I'm talking age-wise, but there also comes a point where you need to honor those who are older than you in the Lord. Now, they may not be physically older than you, but they're more experienced and they've walked with Christ longer than you've walked with. In my own life, I am submitted to Pastor Dennis Rouse. Dennis Rouse is younger than me, quite a number of years younger than me. But Dennis Rouse is far more experienced in pastoring than I am. Now, if he ever wanted to become evangelist, he's going to have to turn the tables. He would get to submit to me. Amen. But I know Dennis, he don't want to be an evangelist. He's in the middle of God's will for his life. But a lot of guys would not humble themselves in that fashion. I'm just going to be honest with you. A lot of guys would not show humility. They kind of have an uppity, I know it all attitude. And because of that, they don't advance in life. How many of you that have ever had the opportunity to employ somebody? You've had somebody under your department, or maybe you've trained an intern, and somebody who has what they call an unteachable spirit. I want you to write that phrase down, an unteachable spirit. Well, I'm going to do it my way, come hell or high water. You know, their theme song is old Frank's song, I Did It My Way. And because of that, God says, I cannot promote them or honor them to the level that I would want to. So there comes this attitude of humility. Now, I'm giving you three things about humility. Number one is age. You're going to honor those who are physically older than you. Number two, you're going to honor those who know more than you know and have walked with Christ longer than you have, regardless of age. And the third thing about humility, write this down, is you are going to display dependency on God versus self-sufficiency. Please jot that down in some shorthand fashion. You're going to display dependency versus self-sufficiency. You say, what in the world does this have to do with overcoming worry? It has a lot to do with overcoming worry, because when you are worrying, you are taking the cares on you. When you are worrying, when I'm in anxiety, that is really, can I just kind of turn that around another way? That's Jason saying, Lord, I tell you what, if I need you, I'll call you, but right now I'm not totally stressed out. I'm just kind of stressed out. I can handle it. I'm self-sufficient. I don't really need to cast it on you. Do you see how that's a form of pride? Yeah, that's a form of pride. I can handle it. You know, it's like the old story I heard. They were arguing in some church, you know, the leadership was arguing over the color carpet. They couldn't come to terms over the color carpet, getting ready to go through the expansion project. And they couldn't come to terms. And they were yelling and screaming and just about to split fellowship over the color of the carpet. Finally, somebody said, well, let's pray about it. The old lady said, has it come to that? Oh, dear God. You know, as if that's the last resort. We're going to pray and see what Jesus might want about it. Has it finally come to that? We can't figure it out ourselves. Must we go to God? And so often we kind of laugh about that silly illustration, but how many of you know we're like that in our lives? And so watch this. He transitions from the subject of humility. How in the world does that connect to casting your care? Big connection. Look at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Now, please underline that, because that is a positive. Let me turn that around. God wants to exalt you. Can I say it a number of ways? God wants to promote you. God wants to bless you. God wants to advance you. God wants to move you forward in the will of God. God wants your finances to be better. God wants your emotional life to be happy and cheerful. God wants to exalt you. What gets in the way when we try to handle things ourselves? Now, God never created our constitution, our the way that we're created, spirit, soul, and body, to carry stress. That is contrary to the way God created us. We are to live by faith, not by fear. Now, let me give you some expanded words for the term worry. Just kind of write worry equals, maybe use an equal sign like mathematics, worry equals, and maybe you haven't thought of worry in these terms. Worry equals anxiety, fretting. Well, I'm not really worried, I'm just concerned. Here's another one, concern. And here's the one I'm really after, circle this one, fear. See, generally when we are worried, watch this, there is an anticipation of loss. When we are worried, it's because there is some form of anticipation of loss in some way. I'm worried I'll lose my job. I'm worried I'll lose my position. I'm worried what they'll say about me. I'm worried they won't do what I think they ought to do. I'm concerned about this or that. It's ultimately some form of anticipation of loss. And he says here, verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the little bitty old hand of God. Is that what your Bible says? Everybody say the mighty hand. Now he's just kind of playing with words there. The mighty hand of God compared to your puny hand. The mighty ability of God compared to your woeful shortcoming in self-sufficiency. Paul got to the point that he says, we have no confidence in the flesh. That he may exalt you in due time, casting, here it comes, casting, we looked at this briefly last week, casting the big cares upon him. Is that what your version says? That's the perverted paraphrase right there. Casting the big cares, casting the ones you select, casting all. Everybody say all. Now, you get down to the root term there and look it up in the Strong's. The word all means all. Casting all your anxieties, your concerns, your worries, your frets, your fears upon Him, for He is unconcerned about you. Oh, I'm sorry. He cares for you. Everybody say this out loud. My God cares for me. My God is interested in my need. My God is interested in my welfare. I count. I'm important. No one else may care. But my God cares for me. Ooh, hallelujah. You preach yourself happy right there. My God wants to exalt me. My God wants to bless me. My God wants to establish me. He cares for me, but He knows that His grace, His ability is going to be hindered if I'm operating in self-sufficiency. Jesus, I'll call you if I need you. You've already missed it. You need Him. And the more successful you become, the more you need Him. I want to say that again. The more successful you become, the more you need Him. Why is that? Because when you are not successful, you have need of Him to meet your basic needs. But when you become successful, you have need of Him to show you where to target your success, which suddenly is an outreach. Before it was just your four, no more, hold the Alamo. Now it's I'm going beyond my ground and I'm taking enemy's ground. Ooh, hallelujah, you're on the advance now. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober. Now, that word sober is interesting. Yours may use a slightly different way of saying that. But we understand what being drunk is all about. You know, if you're intoxicated with alcohol or any other form of drug abuse, then you are not in your right senses, are you? Listen. When you are carrying worry, fears, it has the same effect as being drunk. It dulls your senses. You're not thinking right. He says, be sober, be vigilant. What does vigilant mean? It means on your guard. Why should I be on my guard? Now, here's where I part ways with a whole bunch of Christians who think that, you know, God, whatever comes my way must be of God. Well, then why does He say, be on your guard? Well, He's about to tell you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, you ought to underline that. You got an adversary out there. You've got an enemy. You've got someone who's after you. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So he's not just out to give you a headache. He's not just out to give you a bad day. He will, in fact, if you give him ground, attempt to devour your whole life. Now I want you to see the connection. Please don't miss this. This is going to, you may want to do this, you may not, but I'm saying this for emphasis' sake. You need to draw an arrow in your Bible from verse 7 down to verse 8. The two verses do go together, folks. Well, verse 7's on worry and verse 8's on the devil. Don't you see the connection? When I carry worries and fears, it opens the door to the devil. Now watch this. The just shall live by
faith.
Five of you knew it. I'm being ornery, aren't I? The just shall live by
faith.
Say it. The just shall live by
faith.
The just shall live by
faith.
The unjust shall live by fear. Now, in flying an airplane, as I am wont to use the illustration, there are radio beacons around the country. There's these things that they call them VORs, and they look like a giant bowling ball pin, and they send signals out. For instance, there's one right in Macon. There's one in Alma, Georgia. There's one right at Jacksonville. There's one at the Atlanta airport. All over the country, hundreds of these things. And if you have the right kind of equipment, you just dial up the right frequency and your plane can track either to it or you can go from it. Are you getting this? But you got to have the right frequency. If you don't have the right frequency dialed in, your piece of equipment just looks dead to the world. But man, all of a sudden you dial in the right frequency. Oh man, 116.8, why'd I put that in there? Should have been 116.9. That just happens to be the frequency of the Atlanta VOR. If I 116.8, close but not close enough, no cigar. You got to put 116.9 in there and all of a sudden that deal lights up and comes to life and you can home in on it. Everybody say home in on it. Now watch this. Fear is like the wrong kind of VOR in your life. Fear allows the devil. I mean, they are dead to your life, and all of a sudden they sense fear. I mean, their equipment comes to life, and they are moving towards you. It allows them to track inbound to where you're at. All of a sudden, you send out faith. They don't know anything about faith. They can't track faith. The angels of God, their equipment comes to life. Here comes the angels now. The angels are coming in. The problem is we're switching frequencies. Demons take one step. God's angels take another step. You know, it's like, you get anything out of this? Everybody say, dial up faith. Everybody say, dial up faith. He says, why? Watch this. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist. Circle the word resist. That's your part. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the whole world. Well, at that time they were under persecution. That was their type of affliction. For us, it could be that. It could just be paying the price to walk with Jesus. It could be a problem that's really not paying the price for Jesus. It could be a family situation. It could be a job-related situation. There's all types of afflictions that come our way. But look at God's goal. I love verse 10. Put a star by verse 10. Here comes grace again. But the God of all grace. Hallelujah. But the God of all grace, the God of all ability and enabling power, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that you have suffered a while. Underline this. Here's His goal. Make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. Did you know even in nature this is true? You know, I've used the airplane illustration. I saw a documentary. I like to watch documentaries. Does anybody else like to watch documentaries? Oh, all the, you know, like past 30, you like watching documentaries. I drive Ryan and Joanna crazy, like, Dad, turn on something real on TV. This is real. It's a documentary. And they were documenting our favorite species, the shark. And the shark has the ability to not only smell blood, they have some type of an electrical sensitivity that they can sense fear. They can sense motion. I mean, miles and miles away. They've done all these studies where, I mean, they can home in. They know the normal movements of a fish, and they know a fish that's floundering on the surface who has an abnormal movement. They sense that. Well, if I could just use that illustration, because the devil is like a shark going about seeking whom he may devour. I mean, he can sense when fear's got a hold of us. Now, up until now, you're right with me. Amen? Are you with me?
Amen.
The problem is, everybody goes, well, I know I'm not supposed to have worry, but I worry. So how am I supposed to overcome worry? Well, I've got to give you a recent current story from our life here. Some of you know this. Many of you may not know it, but Martha and I, we've just sold our home. And we closed on that, and we closed on a new home. And so we're preparing to move, and our house right now is filled with boxes. You know, and every spare minute we're doing the box thing. Everybody say the box thing. Hallelujah. Pray for grace for Pastor. He's doing the box thing. And we're preparing to move. Now, before the closing, have you ever heard the phrase, it ain't done till it's done? I mean, we had the paperwork in place. We had the home that we had picked out, and the Lord has helped us to get a home that's really better than what we thought we could get. And, you know, the Lord just blessed us and directed our steps. But worry can get involved in a situation like that. For instance, when we put our house up for sale, we had a contract on our house in, what was it, 6 days? 6 days. 6 days we sold our house. Now, we had found this other house that we wanted and we felt good about. In fact, I will tell you the story. We had looked at a bunch of houses and I was just out of gas. Everybody say out of gas. Pastor was out of gas. He didn't want to look at no more houses. And we finally had one more house. Okay, I'll go in and look at this house. As soon as I walked in, I looked around and all of a sudden I felt that old vibe. Hallelujah. I felt that old faith vibe. Amen. Coming in. And I looked, I said, man, this could be it. I'm sensing something. And I heard the voice of God speak in my heart. I can tell it now because it's a done deal. Everybody say a done deal.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all helping me preach tonight.
Amen.
I was standing there before it was a done deal and I literally heard the voice of God say, would you like this house? I said, Lord, I'd really like this house, but I don't think we can pull it off. He said, I didn't ask if you could pull it off. Do you like this house? I said, yes, and we'd like to have something that we could, you know, entertain. I mean, as an evangelist, I never even gave thought of inviting people over for a cookout and this kind of thing. I said, yeah, Lord, I'd like to have it. It's got more space here where we could have a church over, you know, and cookout. Amen. I'd be about to flipping hamburgers. Amen. I said, yeah, I'd like to have it. He said, well, do you remember what I taught David about the such and such revelation? Everyone say the such and such revelation. See, I'm going to teach you that some other time. That's not tonight. But the Lord gave me the such and such revelation. It's when Nathan came and said, thou art the man. And God spoke through Nathan and said, I gave you the kingdom. I gave you Israel. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you such and such. That's the way the King James puts it. Such and such. Why'd you have to go play around? Why'd you have to blow it? Why'd you have to mess around? I would have given you whatever you wanted. The Lord said, Jason, I'll give you such and such if you'll just keep yourself pure before me. I said, well, I'll take the such and such. Amen. And so we made an offer on the house. But, you know, we had to have a contingency that our house would sell. They came back and said, no, we won't even accept any contingency. How many of you know that's not fun? It's not fun when you got your heart set on something. They come back and say, no. And we were like, man, we got to sell our house fast here. And so I was worried, concerned. That sounds better, more spiritual. Pastor was pastorally concerned. No, I was worried. I said, man, somebody else is going to get that house. And I wonder if I did hear God. You ever been through that gymnastics? I wonder if I heard God. Maybe I didn't hear God. Such and such revelation. Maybe that's not in this dispensation, you know. All this kind of stuff. And here we go. All that bad theology coming in there. And I'm just sitting there kind of worried. And the Lord said, just start thanking me. Just start thanking me for wisdom. And our realtor, I give her a lot of credit. This is where wisdom comes in. She said, I tell you what, let's go back with not an open-ended contingency. Let's go back and ask them for a three-week. If they'll just agree to a three-week contingency, give us 3 weeks to sell the house. Faith came up in me. I told her, I said, we can sell the house. I believe we'll sell the house before Martha and the children leave for the youth trip down to Panama City. And as I said, 6 days, boom, we had the contract. Everybody say, thank God.
Thank God.
Well, the deal ain't done yet, you see. God did a miracle, but we're still going to worry. Amen. Some of y'all are like that. God did a miracle, and you're still going to worry. Well, what if it don't get really done? It's gotten done, but it ain't done. We go to closing. I'm telling you that this is stuff just a few days ago. We go to closing. We're at the table getting ready to close on our house, and the couple we're buying the house from sitting right in the lobby waiting on us, get our money, give them the money. You know how that goes. And so we're at the, and we go to the table, and they pass out the papers. And I look at the papers, and I say, they said, just look over the papers. And I looked and I went, that's not the price we agreed on. I said, this is not the price we agreed on. And the person buying our house said, that's true, that's not the price. They had submitted the wrong contract to the loan company, and so the loan people had come with the wrong amount. I mean, the deal fell apart right there. It wasn't a typo. They had to go get more money. Well, you don't do that like in an hour. And I'm like, you've never seen so many people mad at each other. I'm just sitting there watching. They're starting to accuse each other. You did it. No, you did it. Yeah, you're guilty. And then somebody said, somebody's going to have to pay another $150 to retype all this paperwork. Well, you're going to pay it. You're going to pay. I'm just sitting there looking at this. I said, I've had enough of this. I said, y'all want to make this work or not? They just hushed up. And I said, I'll pay the stinking $150. Whose ever fault it was? We had to go out and tell the people that we were getting ready to buy the house from. The deal fell apart. Now we got a whole other group of people mad at us. Everybody say worry.
Worry.
Everybody say worry.
Worry.
Fretful.
Fretful.
Anxiety.
Anxiety.
Concerned. That night, it's like I cast and I cast and I cast and I cast. Anybody ever done that? I wish I could tell you that I was immune from worry. I lay in bed and I play catch. And that's where the analogy breaks down. God's not throwing it back at us, but I was reaching out and getting it. Lord, I just think that this is going to work out. Oh my God, it's not going to work out. Now wait a minute, Lord, I just thank you it's going to work out. Oh no, you know what's going to happen? They're going to buy our house. Then the other person's going to say, forget it. They're not going to sell the stuff. I'm a homeless pastor, man. This is terrible. I can live up at the church. Sleeping bags for Jesus. Amen. All night. Make a long story short, it got done. But I am telling you what, worry, I want you to write this down because I'm transitioning. Worry will rob us of God's best. I want you to get hold of that. Worry will rob us of God's best. Now, we're not going to turn there, but I want to give you this verse just for reference sake. What do I mean by rob you of God's best? Write this down. Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. If you'll go back and study that text sometimes, over and over, God Himself says to Joshua, fear not. Do you remember that? Fear not. Be not dismayed. Over and over He says, Joshua, I've called you to inherit the promised land. Now, here's where I'm going to take a little liberty and paraphrase. Joshua, if you don't keep your eyes in the Word, and if you don't keep your eyes on Me, fear will keep you out of your promised land. So you're going to have to resist fear, stand against fear. The way you do that, Joshua 1 verse 8, is meditate in My Word day and night, speak My Word, and that Word will create within you faith. The just shall live by faith instead of fear ruling you. Instead of fear ruling you. Somebody came up to me before the meeting tonight and said, you know what? It's a very possibility that I could lose the job I'm in, but I already see God opening a door somewhere. They already had their face set on another situation. I said, I agree in Jesus' name. We claim that God's going to open that door. That's God's best. Let's go for it in faith. Amen? I said, oh my God, what am I going to do? You're going to have to cast. You're going to have to cast your cares on the Lord. Go back and look at it, verse 7. Cast all your care upon Him, for He what? Cares for you. Now, I gave this out last week. If you weren't with us, jot this down. The word there, cast, literally means to fling with sudden motion. To fling with sudden motion. So when he says, cast your care, he doesn't mean after an hour. He doesn't mean after 2 hours. The moment you become aware of that fear trying to get a hold of you, you just cast it. Well, Pastor, how many times do I need to cast it? You cast it until you cast it. I don't know how to say it any better than that. You cast it until you've cast it. As an evangelist, I've seen this all over the country, and I'm not making light in any way of altar calls or people's sincere response. But I see a problem. And that is, you give an altar call, and you just see people come to the altar, and it's like they got this big baggage on their back. Lord, I just give you my, I can't carry it anymore. I can't carry it anymore, dear God. You know, I just lay it down at the altar. And Lord, I'm just about crushed by this thing. I thank you, God, for setting me free. I feel relief. People gather around them, pray for them, and they start crying, and somebody get them a handkerchief, and here they go. I feel free. Hallelujah. I've been set free. Praise God. Ugh, I can go another day or two. God's not trying to help you go another day or two carrying your own cares. He's trying to get you to leave it at the altar and leave it there. Amen. Now, I want you to write these things down. I want to give you 5 keys for overcoming worry. And the next time I minister on the Wednesday night, I'm going to pick back up on this. Are you enjoying this? I'm telling you, this is right where every one of us live. Before I give you these 5 keys, let me just say this. I think I would be an unrealistic Christian minister to say to you that you can be exempt from worry. I don't believe that's a possibility in this world. I believe it is a possibility to live above worry. But for someone to say that they're never tempted or bothered by worry or fear, I think they're out there in the zone somewhere that I ain't ever been. They've gone where no man has gone before. And they kept on going. You know what I'm saying? They're out there with a Klingon somewhere. All right. 5 keys for overcoming worry. Number one, the thing that has helped me the most. Number one, learn to turn worry into prayer. Learn to turn worry into prayer. What do I mean by that? Well, the moment that I become worried, I've learned to let that be a reminder, okay, it's time to pray and cast. Time to pray in faith and cast it on the Lord. Because if I go through life like this, I'm not going to worry. Today I'm not going to worry. I'm worried that I'm not going to worry. I'm worrying. That's the wrong approach. You're trying to be something that until you get your resurrected body, it's going to be impossible for you to be. It's like going out the door and saying, I'm not going to be tempted today. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted in every way. Just living in this world. Temptation is not sin. Yielding to sin is sin. And so when I go through life, I don't go through life with the mentality that, you know, I'll never worry again. I go through life saying as soon as I become aware of worry, fear, concern, fretting, anxiety, however you want to describe it, I will turn that instantly into a prayer and I'm giving it to God. That becomes my reminder. And I will tell you this, the devil, listen to me, the devil will finally leave you alone if something is reminding you to trust God. I mean, he's not altogether smart, but he's not totally stupid either. You know what I'm saying? And so if every time, you know, he throws something your way, you're seeking God, he's like, okay, come up with another plan. Number two, the second key is declare God as your source of supply. Declare God as your source of supply. So here I'm worried about this or that. Who's going to meet my need? Well, my wife, you know, she just won't line up and do blah, 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 blah. Well, my husband, he just, you know, da 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 da. And, you know, what they're saying is he's supposed to be my source and he's not my source or she's not my source and they're not meeting my need. Mm-hmm. Everybody say, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who is your source? Who are you looking to? God better be your source. God is your source of supply. God might work through others, but they're merely channels or avenues. God only is your source. Well, what if I lose my job? Well, what if you do? God is your source. See? Now, He can work through this company or that company. Somebody says, well, become self-employed and then you won't ever have to worry about it again. You just talk to somebody that's self-employed. They get up every day having to believe God, you know, for the next door to open. So in this world, there is no such thing as absolute, quote, security other than in God. So learn to turn worry into prayer. Number two, declare God as your source of supply. Put a parenthesis by that one. That basically is dependency. That is that element I mentioned earlier of dependency when you say God is my source. And I really had to kind of get to the point that I believed it was God's will for us to have that house. But I finally just, what really helped me is just get to the point and say, Lord, so what? Here, if they bought our house, there's a lot of houses out there. Lord, you're my source. I'm not going to be in the street starving. Why? God's my God. Number three, third key for overcoming worry. Lace your prayers with thanksgiving. You know what I mean by lace? Weave it in and out, in and out, in and out. Just like lacing your shoes, weave it in and out. Lace your prayers with thanksgiving. Put in parentheses faith. That's faith. Now, if all you do is pray like this, oh God, you know my red wagon's broken. Oh God, you know the guy that broke my red wagon. And I want you to break his red wagon. That's not any prayer of faith. I don't know what that is. That's a bunch of yeah stuff. But you know what? It's impossible to pray a yeah prayer if you're lacing thanksgiving through there. You can't pray like that and go, thank you, God, for the answer. So the way to get over into faith is to lace your praying with thanksgiving. What do I mean by thanksgiving? You're thanking God for the answer. You're thanking God that there will be a positive outcome. You're thanking God there is healing. You're thanking God there is provision. You're thanking God there is peace that passeth understanding. And as I said, put a parenthesis, that's faith. And so, and we'll look at this probably next time, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, remember that, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Number four, ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom. I can remember when the realtor called us up. I think, actually, the realtor got hold of Martha before me and said, well, they've rejected your offer. No contingencies whatsoever. They will not accept the contingency that you got to sell your house before they'll, you know, let you buy their house. They just want a flat-out offer. Somebody's got to have some money up front. Well, I'll tell you, it was wisdom on the part of our realtor that came up and said, let's go back to them. And let's put a 3-week contingency, a time frame. Surely anybody would give you 3 weeks to sell a house. That was wisdom. That was a word of wisdom for that moment. Christian realtor, by the way. And so wisdom came that was beginning to walk us into the victory that we now have. Number five, plant specific seeds of faith for your harvest. Plant specific seeds of faith for your harvest. I'm really big on that. I believe not only in general giving, we call that tithes and offerings, I also believe at times God will lead you to plant a victory seed into something. Now, one of the things that, and I don't have time to elaborate on it, we're about out of time, but one of the things about this house, I mean, we are getting so blessed. This couple is retiring. But they have a refrigerator, for instance, a double-wide refrigerator that's only, 6 months, a year old, something like that, and still got an extended warranty on it. Well, the refrigerator that we've had all these years is the one we bought back in 1979. It's been a good one, a Whirlpool. I mean, that thing just keeps on going. Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. You know what I'm saying? And we've enjoyed it. No need to get another one. That's just the way I am. I'm going to use it until you just use it up. And if it uses up, I'll probably fix it 2 or 3 times and use it up again. But it'd be kind of nice to have those little ice crushers on the front, you know, like we got here. I thought, that's kind of neat, you know, go up there and get ice. And cool, man, look at that, you know. Why do you want one? I don't know, I just want one, you know, just play with that thing. But I'm not going to go pay the big money, you know, to get it. Well, they're retiring. We walked through the house. I told Martha, I said, well, this is such a nicer house than what we've had and more room for entertaining and so forth like that. I said, we'll just have to have some empty rooms probably for a year or two, and I'm not going to go out and finance furniture, you know, so we'll just believe God as we go. And it came out in the discussions, they said, well, is there anything in the house you might want? I'm like, you know, it's like, okay, I can smell a miracle. Oh, here it comes, here it comes. That old faith started vibrating. I said, what are y'all getting rid of? Just walk through the house and make a list. I said, is the grandfather clock? Oh, that's available. I said, I've always wanted one of them. I wrote that deal down. Walked in there, refrigerator, you know, patio furniture, you know. I tell you, lawnmower, self-propelled, I'll take that deal, you know. Chainsaw, put that down there. I mean, I had a long list. I'm telling you, we got like $20,000 worth of furniture for such a fraction, pennies on the dollar. God absolutely blessed our socks off. I had to put some more on tonight to come to church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, watch this. We're blessed, and so we've got a refrigerator. We just gave it to the lady buying our house. I mean, we just gave it to her. I said, you know, why sell the deal for $50? It's worth more seed form. A seed will multiply. $50 is $50. You've spent it. You know, you've gone out to eat, and that's it. And you've digested it. It's gone. You plant a seed, it's going to multiply. Everybody say multiply. Amen. We had a whole dining room set. And we paid, I don't know, how much money did we pay for that dining room set years ago? It's like brand new, $2,500 or something like that. I said, I'm not going to tell you who we gave it to, but we just gave it to them. I said, we're just going to give it to them. We gave it to them. We had a washer and dryer. Washer and dryer. And they work fine. They're nice. I said, well, who are we going to give that to? I'm looking to plant seed. Why? Well, Jason, you're already blessed. Why are you planting seed? When I gave the dining room table and chairs and hutch and buffet thing and all that away, I told the guy, I said, I'm giving this as a seed for the building next door to have the equipment it needs in there. You know, I don't need any more stuff. I said, I want that. I'm giving that away. I'm giving the washer and dryer away as seed, specific seed. Are you getting anything out of this? We're going beyond self. We're going into the realm of helping somebody, not only now, but believing that'll end up multiplying for a bigger children's ministry and youth ministry and more chairs and stuff like that. Amen? And I will tell you that one thing that will help you overcome worry, I'm about through, get your eyes off self and plant a victory seed. Get your eyes off yourself and plant a victory seed in someone's life or in a missionary's life or a project's life or something. And what that does is it just breaks that self-infatuated me, mine, and what am I going to do, and I'm not going to help anybody till I get out of this deal. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You for what You're teaching us. We thank You that we can live above the force of worry and fear. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we just choose tonight to live by faith. We choose to live by faith. We'll not be jerked around by the force of worry and fear. Lift your hands to God and thank Him for the revelation just gripping your life right now. Come on. Begin to thank God verbally all over the auditorium. Some of you have heard this, but you need a refresher course. You've been letting worry and fear jerk you around. We're not going to let that happen anymore. Father, we thank You. We thank You that Your desire is to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. Perfect, mature, establish, strengthen, and settle. That's our God. The God of all grace shall abound to us. Let's worship the Lord. Lead us.